Hi, I'm Ella Shawn, reluctant romance writer and host of Enchanted Beast Podcast. Welcome to the Enchanted Forest. In this episode, Ella continues her 7-part series, Balancing the Chakras, Heal the Bodies. Today, she is working with the heart chakra. And now, here's your host. Enchanted Monday, my enchanted beast. How are you? I hope you guys had an amazing weekend and are ready to get motivated for this new week. Today is part 5 of our 7-part series dealing with the chakras, right? Balancing the chakras, heal the bodies. And today we're dealing with the 5th chakra, the heart chakra, and it's located in the center of the body. And it's not there by happenstance, right? This chakra is what is called the unifying chakra. And it unifies your lower chakras with your higher chakras. And so it is positioned exactly where your physical heart is. It is at the center of your body. And I am super excited about working with this chakra today. If you can't hear it in my voice, it is one of my favorites. And I know what you're thinking. You say that every Monday, Ella. And I do, because honestly, all of them are my favorites. But today I'm working with the heart chakra, so it's going to be my favorite chakra today, right? So this episode is entitled, Put a Little Love in Your Life. And I got that title from, it's an older song, right? Put a Little Love in Your Heart. It was written by Jackie DeShannon. I just wanted to share a few lyrics with you because it's so apropos for what the heart chakra, what its purpose is, okay? Think of your fellow man, lend him a helping hand, put a little love in your heart. You see, it's getting late. Oh, please don't hesitate. Put a little love in your heart. And the world will be a better place. And the world will be a better place for you and me. You just wait and see. Another day goes by and still the children cry. Put a little love in your heart. If you want the world to know, we won't let hatred grow. Put a little love in your heart. And the world will be a better place. And the world will be a better place for you and me. You just wait and see. Wait and see. Take a good look around. And if you're looking down, put a little love in your heart. I hope when you decide kindness will be your guide, put a little love in your heart. And the world will be a better place. And the world will be a better place for you and me. You just wait and see. Put a little love in your heart. Put a little love in your heart. Okay, so I read the whole song, but it was so perfect because this is exactly what the heart chakra is for. We have a heart chakra to promote love, to allow love to guide us, to allow kindness to be the measuring stick by which we measure all actions and thoughts. Now, of course, I'm going to give you the basics, right? I'm going to tell you some of the basics so that even if you say, I'm never going to practice any of this, you know, mojo stuff she has going on, at least if somebody says, hey, have you ever heard of the heart chakra? You'll know a little bit about it, right? Right. Okay. The heart chakra, again, is located in the center of the body, exactly where your physical heart is located. So it's right above the solar plexus. And remember, I've said over and over again that every chakra, that energy below the chakra feeds into the next chakra. So it's imperative that our chakras are balanced from the bottom up, that we clear any blockages from the bottom up, because any blockages, any imbalances in our lower chakras can cause imbalance and or blockage in our higher chakras. So last week we talked about the solar plexus chakra, and we want to make sure it's balanced, right? Because if not, this very important center of chakra system here will not function in the way that it's supposed to function, right? So in Sanskrit, chakra, the heart chakra, is called anahata, and it means unstruck. It means unstruck, not unstuck, unstruck. It has not been stricken. It has not been beat down. It has not been pummeled. It is unstruck, okay? The basics about this chakra, its element is air. We've had earth in the root chakra. We've had fire in the sacral chakra. We've had water in the solar plexus chakra. And now we have air. Its color is green. Physical association, heart, lungs, circulatory system, arms, hands. Its psychological function is love. Its identity function is social identity, right? Solar plexus gives us our self identity, and then heart chakra gives us our social identity. Its greatest challenge is grief. Predominant sense is touch. Predominant organ is skin. So we experience this chakra. We feed this chakra through touch, right? Through the intimacy of touch. Its scent is lavender, rose, and jasmine. Of course, the scent for love is going to be beautiful. Oh my God. Those are three of my favorite scents, in all honesty. And jasmine's my favorite. The herbs are yarrow, meadowsweet, and orris root. And I have never heard of either of these herbs. So I'm definitely, like, I had to make a little note, do some research on the herbs to see, you know, what I could use them in, if it's in a tea or whether or not I could cook with them, because I do like to try and, you know, integrate these chakra-based herbs into my diet. When we think about the heart chakra, I go back to my time as an educator, and I used to work with at-risk students. And so I had a seminar, and I'd always say, well, we're going to have Character Tuesday, right? And that would be the day that we would choose a character trait, and then we would work on that character trait. And then that's the character trait they would have to exemplify, you know, for the next couple of weeks. And then they'd get, you know, Ella Bucks, so they could shop at my store. And so it was my way of saying, hey, let's not be a bunch of degenerates running around. Okay. And so I went back to my education days, and really the heart chakra is the center of our character. It is where our character is formed, right? The attributes of the heart chakra: love, warmth, compassion, joy. And when we say the word love, I'm not talking about, I love you so much because you're hot and you kiss well. And I'm not talking about, I love you, girl. You're my best friend. You know, I got you. And I'm not talking about, I love you, sweetie, because you're mommy's little baby. No, no. I'm talking about that love that allows you to, that love that allows you to create bonds, deep bonds with those who deserve it. The love that allows you to care for and have compassion for others, even when you don't know them. That kind of love, that all-encompassing, all-consuming love. To love without needing a reason to love, right? And then the warmth. You ever go around people who just seem to be extremely standoffish, extremely distant and cold in their nature? And it's just something about them. It's not that they, you know, they have cold hands, right? It's not that. It's something in them that's giving off this frostiness. Now, as a writer, description is paramount to great writing, right? And as a romance writer, I have to be very careful with the description that I use, especially when I'm describing eyes, because eyes reveal so much about a person's character. And there are times when I want to convey that my character is cold and aloof, right? There are times when I want to convey that my character is standoffish and not loving at all. And when I want to do that, I may use something like snow drifted from his eyes in the form of, I don't know. I got lost there. But if it's like a, instead of shooting daggers, he shot icicles at me. The glare was so frosty. I froze on spot. I could not move my feet. Something like that. Because there are people who have that frosty, glacial stare that leaves you frozen where you stand. And so there are other people then, right? If there's some frosty people out there, then there's definitely some of us who are extremely warm. People you just want to gravitate to. People who make you feel like you've just walked out into a perfect spring, sunny day, and the sun's rays are shining right on you just because you're standing near them. You feel welcomed and you just want to get to know them. That warmth that radiates from them, right? Compassion, the ability to understand what others are sacrificing and to empathize with them, to understand that others are going through something and you empathize. You're not sympathetic, you're empathetic. That's compassion. And that's from the heart chakra, right? And just joy. You've seen people who are just joyous. They are happy and not happy, but they are joyous because happiness comes when something happens to make you happy. But joy comes because you woke up that morning. Joy comes as just a part of who you are, right? And people who live a life of joy, they have that warmth. They have that compassion because they have that love, right? Now, the functions of the heart chakra, right? The character traits that it allows us is it's the center of deep bonds with ourselves and others. And people don't really understand having a bond with yourself, but it's important that you connect with who you are on every level Because if not, you're not going to be able to truly connect with others. It's a sense of caring and compassion, as we've talked about. Feelings of self-love, right? You have to kind of love you before you can love others. Contrary to popular belief, you have to really love who you are. And that's everything about you. The things that others may find annoying or may find negative or whatever, the things that others find fault in with you, you still have to love them and love them honestly. Because loving yourself means accepting yourself. And loving and accepting you makes it so much easier to love and accept others, right? It's that sense of altruism, right? And altruism, it is the belief or practice of selfless concern. It's selflessness. To be altruistic is to be selfless. And I have several takes on that. The idea of selflessness, I've never been a big fan of it, to be honest with you. I've never been a big fan of being selfless. And I say that because most people are selfless to the point where they give everything of themselves and leave nothing for themselves. I prefer to be self-full. I prefer to make sure that I've set adequate boundaries for myself. I know when to say no. I know when to give. I know when it's, you know, perfectly fine to say, you know what? I'm going to act in the best interest of this person because it does not go against the best interest of myself. That's where my problem comes in with altruism and selflessness. When people tend to act in the best interest of everyone else at the downfall of themselves, that just doesn't make any sense to me. And a lot of people, I think, misconstrue altruism, selflessness, right? I think they get it confused and they believe that I need to give and give and give and give, even the shirt off my back. I need to be willing to give, even if it's going to leave me cold. I need to be willing to give everything that I have because that's selflessness. That's what, you know, whatever religion you're working with says to do. That's what yada, yada, yada says is important. No, but is it? Are we really supposed to give until we have nothing for ourselves? I don't think so. And if I'm wrong, then I will be happily wrong and I will love all of that about me. So the altruism, again, there has to be boundaries, right? It goes to your generosity, your feelings of kindness and respect. I'm going to say this, and I say it all the time, but you know what? I obviously think it's important because feelings of love, altruism, generosity, kindness, and respect, they have to start with you. All of those feelings have to start with you. You have to love yourself. You have to give to yourself. You have to be generous with yourself. You have to be kind to yourself and you have to respect you. Once you're able to honestly engage in that type of behavior towards yourself and it is consistent and it's you know, sincere and authentic, once that is just where you are with yourself, your heart chakra is open and spinning and it's balanced and you are able to now give that to the world. But there is no way you're going to be able to give any of that to anybody if it's not something that you've given to yourself. How are you going to feed the masses when you're starving? How are you going to tell the world to be kind to each other when you neglect your basic needs, right? So our heart chakra tells us, if we want a balanced heart chakra, if we do not want to engage with blockages, then we need to take care of ourselves. We need to love and appreciate and trust ourselves, right? Now, I've said that the heart chakra is a unifying and integrating chakra, bringing the lower and upper chakras together, but it is also the center of healing for us. And why wouldn't it be? Because what heals everything? I'm giving you a moment to take a guess. I'm sorry, my dog is in my room while I'm recording. What gives us the healing that we need? Love. Love allows us to heal from everything. And that sounds so hokey. Like, I completely understand how crazy it sounds. If you want to heal yourself from any kind of hurt or discomfort or pain, you just need to love yourself and love others, right? I know, peace, love, and soul grease, but I am so serious. Every major religion or faith system says that love is the key to everything. Love is the key to happiness. So this ubiquitous idea that love is all you need, to quote the Beatles, it's not necessarily hocus pocus, okay? So how do we heal? We heal through love, with love, for love, right? Healing takes place through love. Recognize we are a part of something much bigger than ourselves. Our heart chakra, because it's also that unification and it integrates, right? It allows us to understand our connection to not only ourselves and the people who are immediately around us, but it allows us to connect with the knowledge that we are a part of something so grand, grander than even the world in which we live, right? Once we have opened our chakra and we have committed to keeping it balanced, our heart chakra will allow us to access the knowledge of the interconnectedness with the intricate web of relationships between life and the universe. What does that mean, Ella? Because that sounds like a bunch of new age foolishness. But to break it down very simply, it means that once we have our lower chakras open and spinning and they are balanced, and our heart chakra is open and spinning and balanced, we are able to acknowledge and recognize that we are never, ever alone. That whatever secrets the universe has for us, we have access to them. Whatever knowledge the universe has for us, we have access to it. There is nothing to be withheld from us as long as this heart chakra is open and balanced. Because it is the center of our connectedness. It is how we connect to ourselves and to others and to the greater universe around us. So during those times when you are feeling particularly alone, seek out your heart chakra's knowledge that you are never by yourself. Even when you are physically alone, you are never alone because you have access to an entire universe. And that in and of itself is probably the most amazing thing ever to acknowledge. It is so comforting to know that you are never alone. Now, I'll say this again, major religions, this is what they preach. Everything is kind of every major religion, they have this, you know, doctrine, this philosophical, ideological basis. And a lot of it says you have to have faith, right? You have to have faith that what we're saying to you is true and accurate. And that's why so many people practice whatever faith or whatever religion they choose to practice, because how comforting is it to know that if you are, you know, Judeo-Christian and you believe that God is never going to leave you by yourself, how comforting is that to know that in your darkest hours, you are not by yourself? You have a deity with you all the time. It's extremely comforting. And so for that reason, this heart chakra, I would venture to say, is the basis for all modern faith systems. The functions of the heart chakra, the functionalities, how you do it, how it allows you to move through life, through love. It is the basis for modern faith systems because it predates all of them. Right? So we are able to acknowledge once this heart chakra is open, once Anahata is open and she's spinning, right? Then we are able to acknowledge we are never alone and there is nothing we don't have access to. Living life from the perspective of the heart chakra, from the center of your chakra system, living life from this perspective is called the way or the path of the heart. Now, I am not a Christian. I used to be a Christian. I grew up a Christian, but I am not a practicing Christian anymore. However, the life of Jesus Christ, his life, at least what is known of his life, appears to have followed the way of the heart. Right? I love you because you are here. I empathize with your situation because I'm able to walk in your shoes and it makes me empathize with you. I have compassion and concern for you. I want to nurture you if you need nurturing. It's not about me. It's not that I want to be edified. No, I want love to be edified. I want people to understand that love will dispel all hurt, all pain, all negativity. That's what I want people to know, because that's what Christ did. He lived the path of the heart. And so I am not a Christian and I am not trying to convert anyone to anything. I am not out here proselytizing for any faith system at all. But I am hoping that you're able to make some of these connections, right? We think of Mahatma Gandhi. Don't edify me for what I'm doing for my people. I am doing what I do for my people because I love them. I am walking the path of love. And if there is injustice and my people are starving, then I need to empathize with them. I need to have compassion for them. And I need to do something so that I can help stop their suffering. So it's not about Mahatma Gandhi. It is about the love that I have for my people. Yes? Yeah? And so I was listening to NPR one morning and they had Glenn Close on and she's playing Isabella, Joan of Arc's mother, in this play. And so they were talking about Joan of Arc. And I've always been fascinated by Joan, really. You know, I'm like a 19-year-old girl who was a peasant, uneducated, who felt the call to do something for her people. And unfortunately, she was accused of various crimes, found guilty, and then burned at the stake at the age of 19. And I think about that, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, 19 years old, and she was so compelled by her heart to do something for the people who were suffering. She was one of the people who were suffering, and yet she wanted to do something for those who were suffering because of her compassion, because of her love. It is not for me, Joan says. I'm not up here trying to do anything to get recognition. I don't want to be in the history books. I don't want people to remember my name. No, I want to make sure that the English don't come in and do away with all of these people who are called peasants, people who work hard, people who work to make sure that there's food for France, right? She died at the age of 19, and then some years later, she was vindicated and called a martyr. But Joan of Arc didn't do any of what she did because she thought she would become a martyr. She wasn't trying to be a martyr. She wasn't trying to be the sacrificial lamb. She did what she did because love compelled her. And that's what our heart chakra does. It calls us to live life on the path of the heart, to live from the path of the heart. So through your actions, speech, and your will, you're able to create this kind of safe and supportive environment. It goes back to that warmth, right? If you have that warmth, that warmth that radiates out from you, it's nothing that you do intentionally per se. It's just that heart chakra's open. It's spinning. You're doing the work to keep it balanced. And yes, it radiates out from you. And people know that they can be around you, and it's safe to be open and honest with you because you're not judgmental. You're not condescending or critical. You're just, yeah, I hear you. I hear exactly what you're saying. I remember there was a time when I just felt like, God, I can't even go to the bookstore. And I would go to the bookstore just to pick up something or peruse the shelves. And inevitably, I would be accosted by, you know, some person that I didn't know. And it would turn into an hour-long conversation. And within that hour, they would tell me everything that was going on in their lives. And I would say, you know, I would listen. And, you know, if they asked me a question, I'd answer it honestly. But normally, I just listened and paid attention to what they were saying. And it got to be a joke because every time we went out somewhere, either my husband and myself, or, you know, went out with my kids or as a family, ultimately people would just come up to me and spill the beans, so to speak, right? And I was like, what in the world? I just want to go get a coffee. I just want to pick up some chips, right? But it was never that easy. And I finally accepted that. That was just kind of my thing, right? That I had that kind of space around me that people felt comfortable and compelled to come and share themselves with me. And I never took it on my person because it wasn't mine. I understood that. But I guess at that time, my heart chakra was just, you know, spinning and doing its thing because people were always drawn to me, and it hasn't changed. So, you know, I understand building this safe, supportive environment, and it's not a physical space. It's just inside of you. That safe and supportive space exists inside of you, and it draws people. It draws people to you because they know that they can feel that energy. They can't describe it. They don't even understand why they talked to you about such intimate details of their lives. They don't understand it, but it's the energy. It is the energy radiating from your heart chakra. And that, I think, is one of the best gifts of the heart chakra. Once it's balanced and spinning, that is one of the best gifts, to be a safe space for people who are hurting, because all you're giving them is acceptance and that love, right? That love, not because of who they are or what they have, but that love simply because they are here in your presence. And that provides healing, right? Now, one of the major challenges, the most challenging situation for the heart chakra is grief. Grief. When people hear the word grief, you know, most people assume that grief only comes when somebody dies. That's a lie. That's the biggest lie. We grieve all the time. And we grieve over stuff that honestly probably doesn't even warrant grieving, right? But we still grieve because that's our nature. I remember when I was diagnosed with lupus. And that was almost 6 years ago. And I remember feeling this unsettled reality of grief. It was overwhelming. It really, really was overwhelming, the level of grief I felt. Because I had to acknowledge several realities, right? Whoever I was, whatever I did, whatever life I lived prior to being diagnosed with lupus was gone. I was not going to ever be that person. I was not ever going to do those things again. I was not going to have that quality of life again. And I felt grief, right? And I remember thinking, am I going through the five stages of grief right now? And yeah, I was. I went through the five stages of grief. And sometimes I repeat them. Sometimes, you know, I get stuck at one when things get bad again. Like if I hit a rough patch, I may be in denial and just keep pushing, right? And then I just get angry because I can't push anymore. And then I start bargaining with whoever's listening. If you just let me feel better, I promise I will do what's right. I will drink more water. I will get the rest I need. If you just let me come out of this right now, right? And then sometimes I don't come out of it as soon as I want to. And I just get kind of, I get depressed. I get really down because I'm like, I don't even understand why I have to go through this. It's not fair. I should be able to. And so I get that depression. And then once I've been in it for a while and I realized, Chick, you're just going to have to deal with this. Ella, you're not the only one going through it. I'm able to accept it. And it's sometimes reluctantly done, but still I'm able to do so. And those five stages of grief, they come all the time when we lose something, right? We lose a relationship, we go through the five stages of grief. We lose our house, we go through the five stages of grief. Our best friend, you know, does something crazy, we grieve over that. We are constantly in a state of grief, right? I'm going to share a few scenarios. If they're speaking to you, well, you're obviously not by yourself. He hurt me so bad. I just can't get over it. I can't even believe he did what he did, but God, it hurts so bad. Grief. And then we walk around with it. A lot of us get stuck. We get stuck in that denial or anger stage. I can't even believe he did it. Like, it has to be another explanation. I think we need to talk again because he had a reason for doing that. He had to have had a reason for hurting me this bad. I can't believe he just did it just to do it. A lot of us get stuck in that denial stage, or once we say, okay, fine, he did it, and he knew what he was doing, we get pissed and we stay pissed. Either way, we get stuck. We either get stuck in denial, anger, bargaining, or depression. And some of us never get to that fifth stage, that important stage of accepting this. It just happened. Now we have to deal with it and move on, right? And that's one of the things that your heart chakra has to deal with. Your heart chakra is there to help you love yourself enough, to respect yourself enough, to give to you, right? To give to yourself, to be generous with yourself, to be kind to yourself so that you can get over this grief and not get stuck wherever you get stuck. My daddy walked out of my life, and now, you know what? I just don't expect a man to be loyal to me. If my own daddy wasn't there for me, then how can I expect a man to be there for me, right? So many women are dealing with this. I had to deal with that. My father walked out of my life when I was less than two. I never knew him, had no relationship with him at all. And I don't know that I didn't expect a man to be loyal to me as much as I had heightened expectations for loyalty. I was determined that whoever I was with was going to be loyal. And that was it. We were going to be together. There's no walking out on me at all. And that stems from that, oh my God, my dad didn't want me, so I got to make sure whoever wants me, I can keep him, right? And so that love was from a place of fear, which isn't really love. And so I had a lot of work to do so that I gave myself permission to be kind to me. I gave myself the respect I deserve. I gave myself the love that I deserve. And that allowed me to love from a place of authentic honesty, as opposed to loving from a place of fear, right? That was always an issue when it comes to my mom and me. I just have a hard time trusting people. Now, parents will mess some kids up. And that is so very sad, because it's not like you have, you know, a big choice, right? And parents don't understand. I'm a parent, right? I have kids, and I'm constantly checking in with my kids. Hey, are we okay? Is there something that I'm saying to you that's causing you to feel uneasy? Is it something that I'm trying to help you figure out, but my way is causing you anxiety? Let me know. You know, tell me how you need me to parent you so that I don't screw you up for the rest of your life, because that's just not what I want to do for my children. But I think parents have big egos, and they think I'm older and I'm taking care of you and I know more than you. So whatever I say must be right. And your thoughts are not even important so much because you're just a kid and you don't know anything. Lies. And in that regard, parents will jack their kids up and leave them with all sorts of issues. And they'll throw all kinds of monkey wrenches in there and get that heart chakra blocked or completely out of balance, and they don't even understand the damage they're doing because it was the same damage that was done to them. So we have like generational blockage within our chakras. And what are we supposed to do with that? We have to do the work. We have to heal these chakras. We have to balance them so that we can heal these bodies, right? She was my best friend, and then she slept with my man. How do I get over that? Now, my old Ella would have been like, you need to go to her. You need to find her. And then you need to stomp her out. But that was my old Ella. My new Ella says, hey, don't get stuck in anger. Don't get stuck in depression. Don't try and bargain with them. No. We have to move on, right? We have to accept that these people were not there for you in the first place. And just because you lose something doesn't mean you grieve about it, because everything you lose, you can regain again. You just have to have it for the right reason, right? So how do we do this? How do we use the lessons of the heart chakra? How do we walk the path of the heart to deal with things like this? Because we have to. They pop up all the time. Several options here. Set A, do unto others as others have done to you. You can become vindictive. You can treat people the way they treat you and see how that makes you feel, right? You can treat everyone according to how you've been treated in the past. Again, you can do that and see how it makes you feel. You can take responsibility for the hurtful actions of others and continue to accept maltreatment. How does it make you feel? You can isolate yourself from everyone and be alone and lonely. This is what you would do if you're out of balance and your heart chakra's energy is underactive. You become vindictive and spiteful. You become angry and hurtful, and you become isolated. You don't want to fool with anyone. You're very aloof, right? You separate yourself from people because you're just like, I don't want any connections, because making connections leads to vulnerability, and vulnerability leads to pain, right? And so because of that, it means that there is an imbalance in that heart chakra, and that heart chakra is under active energy, right? And you don't need that. That's certainly not what you need. You could also go in the opposite direction, right? And everybody can get your love, right? You don't have any boundaries in your relationships, friendships, familiar relationships. Everybody has access to every part of your life and everything that you are. You can take everybody's crap because you feel like maybe you deserve it, right? You can accept everything people give you without thinking, and you end up with a house full of nonsense, a head full of foolishness, right? You can lose your identity and have no sense of self. You can give without restraint. Hey, I'm selling Pop-Tarts for a foundation for guinea pigs. Can you buy them? They're only $6 per pop. Yeah. You give. And you don't even know why you're giving. You become a yes woman. People ask you to do something, you never say no. Yes, I can do that. Can you watch my house while I go on vacation? Yes. Can you take care of my children while I go out? Yes. So you become the person who everybody can dump every small, tiny activity on they don't want to do. And you're going to say, yes, I'll do that. You develop codependent relationships because you don't know how else to function. You need people to need you, and you need to be needed. It's unhealthy, right? So either way, too much heart chakra energy, too little heart chakra energy, that is not the way to go. We have to balance that out, right? We can let go of the hurtful feelings from the past after having dealt with them. Once you are walking and living the path of the heart, you're able to do that. Yes, this person hurt me, and I can't even believe that he chose to do that to me. But you know what? That's his loss, not mine. I'm still fine. I'm still great. And you deal with those emotions, right? And then you let them go and you move on. You can empathize with others who have hurt you to gain a better understanding and perspective, and then you let it go. I'm not quite sure why my best friend slept with my man, but I'm going to assume she has some insecurities and some trust issues that she needs to deal with. And if that's the only way she thought she could handle it, then that's on her. And if he was stupid enough to actually do it, then that's on him. But I am still fine. I'm still good. You can evaluate how you're treating yourself. That's what the heart chakra says to us. Now, if people are treating you crazy, how are you treating yourself? If people keep dumping stuff on you, what are you accepting? People will only treat you the way you allow yourself to be treated. People will treat you the way they see you treating yourself, right? Walking the path of the heart says, do some self-evaluation. Evaluate how you allow people to treat you. And then most importantly, evaluate how you're honestly treating yourself. And of course, the heart chakra says we need to create a loving, safe, and accepting environment so that we have a safe space to retreat to, number one. And number two, we attract the type of people we need in our lives. We attract others who are walking the path of the heart instead of those who are just walking a path to get whatever they can get from whomever they can get it. How do we balance the chakras? Well, back to basics, right? The basics of the heart chakra. Always start with the element, which is air. So connecting with breath through yoga or meditation is extra important. It's also important that we get out in the air. Nature is our best friend when we're dealing with our chakras. Go sailing, go fly a kite, do something that requires the air to make it move so that you're able to connect with it in a very physical way. The color is green. Surround yourself with green plants or surround yourself with the color green. Wear it, right? Put on some green. If you feel like your heart chakra is out of whack, you need to make sure you're feeding that energy, right? Daily affirmations of love, gratitude, compassion. January 1st, 2018, I started a gratitude jar and I put on it Practice Gratitude 365. I have a little wooden box with some, you know, slips of paper and a pen. And I'm like, you know, wake up. And if you feel grateful for something, put your name, the date, and write, I am grateful for whatever it is, because practicing gratitude is a surefire way to get that energy in the heart chakra spinning, right? Because the more grateful you are for what you have, for where you are, for who you are, then the more the universe gives you to be grateful for, right? Deal with all of these kind of hurtful, resentful, painful feelings by acknowledging, honoring, and then letting them go. And sometimes we have to let people go. We have to let relationships go. And that's not a bad thing, right? That's not a bad thing, because people aren't meant to be in your life forever. Some aren't. Some are just meant to be there for a little while and you learn something and then it's time for them to go. And we have to learn to accept that. We have to learn to let it go, to let as much go as we possibly can, because we just don't need all of that all the time, right? And creating that sacred space. And when I say sacred space, I'm not even talking about the internal space that I've been mentioning this whole podcast. No, I'm talking about a physical sacred space. This has been the bane of my existence forever. But because I have a large family and we don't have a ginormous home. And so every space in this house that I live in currently is shared. And it's always been that way. And so I kept trying to figure out, where is my sacred space? What can I do to have a sacred space filled with all the things that make me feel safe, that make me feel loved, that make me feel cared for? Where can I put that? And I got smart and realized I didn't need a room that I could set up a big altar in and have all my favorite things in. I just need a space. And so I purchased a bookshelf. I purchased a bookshelf from Target. And on this bookshelf, I have all of my favorite things. I have pictures. I have little trinkets that I've received over the years. I have my favorite books. I have my crystals and my stones. You know, I have all of my favorite things, my crocheted items that I've made. I have the things that make me feel safe, that make me feel loved, that make me feel cared for and having that on this little shelf and nobody touches it, nobody puts anything on it because it's just for me. It's just my space. And I can look to that space and be honored and honor myself, right? And so that's important. So for those of us who share space, we have got to be creative when we're going in to find a space that we can make sacred, right? Well, that, my friend, is our heart chakra. And as we move up our chakras, opening and balancing them, remember, we have our chakra verbs, right? So for our root chakra, I am, it sets the foundation for who we are. And for our sacral chakra, I feel, it allows us to emote honestly, right? And for the solar plexus chakra, I do. It creates our identity, our self-identity. And for the heart chakra, I love. That's the verb, I love. And it allows us to create connections, right? So we have foundations, we have Epicurean feelings, right? We have self-identity, and then we have connection. Well, that's it for me. I'm done with the heart chakra. And I think I said we're on the fifth chakra, but we're not. That was the fourth chakra. Next week, we move to the fifth chakra, the throat chakra. Again, it's my favorite one. Don't laugh at me. Join me on Wednesday for Wednesday Wisdom. And I'll be talking about how your strength is a natural repellent against weak-ass men. Join me. It's going to be a doozy. And then on next Monday, we'll get to the fifth chakra, our throat chakra, and talk about communicating and how important it is, right? Until next time, thank you for joining me in the Enchanted Forest. Have a great rest of the week. Hit me on Wednesday so I can get you over the hump. Bye. This has been Ella Shawn with Enchanted Beast Podcast. Thank you for joining, and remember to stay enchanted.